T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Game.
It's time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is the John Chuckery Show, coming to you live here on a hump day dynamite Wednesday. Hanging out with you as always for the full four. Asking you to download that radio.com app. Why? Because we know that you're not in your vehicle as much as what you used to be. So you want to listen to the radio station. Not sure how? How else? Radio.com app. Put it on a device, right? Like you got a smartphone, right? You got your Alexa speakers. You got your tablet, you've got a boombox, or you got a Walkman, or a Laserdisc player, a Commodore 64. Whatever you have for a device, just download it on something. That way you can always catch us when you're on the go. Social media is all at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Please follow us on all the different platforms there. But as always, the best way to be a part of our show, find out what's going on with us, that's through our personal Twitter handles, which I guess for a little bit today, did anybody see, like, I guess all blue checkmark accounts got blocked or something like that from Twitter. Like there was a short period of time today when no blue checkmark tweeters could actually put out any tweets or anything like that. So wouldn't that be nice if that happened for like, I don't know, a few weeks? But anyway, check us out on our social media pages. Reach myself. That, of course, is at JMCH316, at JMCH316, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that was out there today. You know, I was listening, Jarvis, I was listening to an interview with Dan Patrick, talking to Joe Vardon, who is the lead NBA writer for The Athletic. And he's down in the bubble, and we're going to talk about this in What's Bugging Chuckery, a different part of the story, but he was on the Dan Patrick Show for 20 minutes. Interesting what they were talking about, Jarvis. They were talking about the idea of, do you think that in a season like this, if LeBron wins, that there will be check marks against him and people will still hold it against him because it is a shortened season and it's this, that, and the other, and they will look for a reason to diminish what he's accomplished. Gee, Jarvis, when I was listening to it, it was almost like, wow, I wonder if there was another sports talk radio show in America that was talking about that in a high viewership NBA market that does have an NBA team that it broadcasts the games for. So I couldn't think of any, so I just. But anyway, he is back in Midtown producing the show, as always. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So busy show tonight. Lots going on with you here. We'll talk to Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. Coming up a little bit later on in the hour. A lot of NFL news breaking. I don't know. I feel like I'm a little bit surprised at the number of big extensions that are going on in the NFL. And, you know, we'll talk about this with him, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on in our NFL squib kick tonight. But you got some, you know, well-known players that are just about to sign some big deals. And you got one quarterback in Dallas who looks like nothing's going to get done, and he's going to have to play for the franchise tag. So we'll talk to him about all the latest goings-on in the NFL as we get – it's hard to believe because normally, you know, let's face it, when training camp is coming around, we're all geared up about the idea of being up in Flowery Branch, and we're going to be broadcasting, and we broadcast up there 6 or 7 days a week, and, you know, all the activity going on and interaction with the fans and this, that, and the other. But obviously with the pandemic and, you know, all this going on, it will be a totally different feel. Now, Jarvis, jump on for just a second. You're a member of the media. Have they talked about how the media is going to get to cover training camp this year? Has there been a dialogue, you know, between the Falcons and the media and things like that about how they're going to allow for coverage of this?
I haven't received anything as far as to what the protocol is going to be. From my understanding, how a lot of other media availability has been, it more than likely is going to be virtual. And those guys are going to be put on the screen, and that's how it's been going throughout the offseason, you know, doing these Zoom calls or Microsoft Teams or whatever you want to use. So from my understanding, that's how it's going to be going forward until I hear anything differently.
Yeah, and, you know, of course the Braves are, you know, cranking back up with their kind of summer training 2.0, whatever, you know, buzzword they're calling it. And, yeah, they're doing the same thing. Like the media people are – so imagine the players on the field. The media is up in kind of the walkway area. They're not really down by the field. There's not like throngs of media down there. They're certainly not on the field and things like that. So everybody's kind of up in the lower sections of the stadium doing their reporting. And then when you talk to Snitker or – I think it was Charlie Culberson today because he was talking about Yasiel Puig. They played together in L.A. a few years ago. You know, that's all done, like Jarvis said, with the Zoom, the Zim, the Zip, the Zap. You know, they got the flip-flop, the tic-tac, or whatever they got going on with the virtual stuff out there. So I would imagine that's how the Falcons will handle it. I'm curious as to whether or not they're going to let people up at Flowery Branch, though. If they will let a certain amount of media you know, out by the field, you know, if you've never been to Flowery Branch, you know, they have their practice field and, you know, they have areas roped off on the sidelines where the media can be a part of and things like that. Who knows? Maybe they'll let you guys up on the hill or something like that, just kind of have everybody kind of spread out up there. I don't know. I mean, I'll be curious to see how they're going to handle it. But, you know, we're getting ready for training camp. It's kind of, yeah, we've been focused on baseball, and, yeah, we focused on the MLS. We'll talk about that in just a second here. But NFL season and practice is coming right around the corner. We'll also talk to our friend of the show, Alicia Roberts, from CBS News of 46. A lot of changes still going on. The governor today, you know, as of tomorrow, the state is mandating masks. Now, I haven't seen what the penalties or anything like that are. I saw Walmart today announce that they are expecting, you know, that they're requiring masks. Home Depot, Best Buy announced, I think it was yesterday, the day before, they're going to require a mask. So, you know, it's the new world, you know, and I've even adopted to where we go to Publix and things like that. I wear a mask and do my thing with it as well. So just, you know, kind of the signs of the time. So we'll talk to her about the latest going on through at Lamb. Couple of quick things I want to get into. First off, I mentioned MLS with the MLS is back tournament going on. We know obviously there's 24 teams, two teams, Dallas and is it Dallas, Orlando? Am I missing a team? Who was the other team? Didn't somebody else pull out, Jarvis? Why did my brain go dead? Nashville and Dallas are the two teams that have pulled out thus far. But two quick things. One is viewership. It says the MLS Backers Tournament is averaging 337,000 viewers and 189,000 people 18 to 49 across ESPN and ESPN Deportes, which is up 24% among all viewers and 34% among the 18 to 49 versus the 2019 season through this time last year. So that's good. That's pretty good. I mean, obviously people want sports, and obviously people are watching this MLS tournament. Now, here's the better news, okay? And this is, I'm not saying the media doesn't want to cover this, but I'll just read the press release from MLS. The Major League Soccer today provided an update. This is yesterday, by the way. Major League Soccer today provided an update on the results of COVID-19 testing for players, coaches, and staff from the 24 clubs participating in the MLS's back tournament, along with referees, league staff, and other members of the MLS delegation staying at host hotels in Florida. Of that group, 1,227 individuals were tested for COVID-19 during the period from July 12th through 13th. No individuals from this group were newly confirmed positive tests from this period. In addition, members of the delegations from the two clubs no longer competing, again, Dallas and Nashville, in the MLS Backers tournament were tested during this period as well. Of those, only one individual was a newly confirmed positive case, which is a player. So testing updated as of July 14th, 1,519 tests administered to 1,227 individuals at the host hotel. Of the participating clubs, zero new confirmed positive cases. Of the non-participating clubs, one new confirmed case was it. Now, I'll let you draw your own conclusions. I have my thoughts. It's fine. You know, but that's the results as of right now. It could change. I get it. Things like that. But it does at least feel like MLS has got a handle on this thing, and the things that they're doing and the things that they're working on are helping. I'm sure somebody will argue that. Well, they didn't do that. Okay. Because in this thing, everybody's going to find fault. Oh, they had one case. Look, somebody else tested positive. Doesn't matter that 1,427 people tested negative. The fact that one person tested positive, that somebody will rail on when it's all said and done. So there you go. That's the press release for MLS. Maybe you think they're lying. I don't know. Anything's possible now at this point. Now, very quickly, too, the Yasiel Puig thing. Very fun story about that. And we'll talk about his potential impact coming up a little bit later on in the show. Or actually next, I should say. I'll take that back. We'll talk about him next. But one of the things about this Puig story that has been really funny is turns out that there was some dude that scooped the national media on all of this, okay? A guy named Brian Chandler. Now, remember that, and then MLB writer started tweeting his tweet. Now, remember, in today's media, okay, you're either trying to be first or you're hot takey. And that's coming soon to a T-shirt shop near you, trademarking that. Jarvis is working on our patent-pending trademark of all this. If you ain't trying to be first, you're trying to be hot takey, okay? So, because the media was trying to be first, they got scooped by a guy who said, not to alarm anyone, but I'm 99% positive, Yasiel Puig walked out the Omni Hotel in the Battery, walked past me, and got in the back of an Uber. Big muscular man, same hair, same face, don't want to be that guy that breaks something wrong, but Puig to the Braves? And then it wasn't very long after that that all of a sudden Mark Feinsohn, Ken Rosenthal, and others started tweeting about the fact that, you know, he was going to become in at Atlanta Braves. So hats off to Brian Chandler as he was first with the Puig story, walking down the street one day, seeing Mr. Puig get in the back of an Uber. So give him credit. He was first without having to be hot takey. Speaking of Puig, how much of a difference, what difference truly does it make by having Puig? Does it change the expectations at all of what you think the Braves will be? We'll talk about that next. This is the John Chakra Show, hanging out on a Dynamite Wednesday, Sports Radio 92 on the Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92 on the Game, back with you here on the John Chakra Show. Hanging out with you on this Dynamite Wednesday, 404-741-0929. That is, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You want to leave us a comment about anything we've been talking about, feel free to do it there. As always, we ask you to download the radio.com app to make sure that you catch us on the go when you're not in your vehicle. And be part of our social media at 929 The Game for the station. Myself, that's at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. We'll talk to Josh Alper coming up in the next segment. Lots of NFL news to get into as we're creeping closer toward NFL training camps happening here very quickly before we get to the end of the month. Hard to believe today it's already the 15th of July. Whew, going by fast. It wasn't very long ago. I was on vacation, too. But anyway, I was at the beach, and it was beautiful. But anyway, at the pool, it was great. Anyway, so obviously the Braves made a big splashy move by signing Yasiel Puig to a one-year deal, obviously to give them some outfield depth and potentially a starter, I would think, in the outfield to replace Nick Markakis, who is obviously opting out, sitting out for this particular season. You know, so going into this season, if I said to you, okay, what did you feel more confident about going into the year? And I know it's hard to separate this because, you know, hindsight's 2020 and revisionist history and things like that because you've seen it play out. But if I said to you going into last year, you had Josh Donaldson and Nick Markakis versus going into this year with Marcelo Zuna and Yasiel Puig, which would you say was a better twosome to go into the season with? I still think that probably Puig and Ozuna. And the reason is, one is we weren't sure how healthy Josh Donaldson was, okay? Nobody knew how healthy he was. You know, I think a lot of us were hoping, okay, can they get 120, maybe 130 games out of Josh Donaldson? Can they get much out of that, out of them with him? What's he going to be like? You know, we know if he's healthy, he's a pretty good player, but he also hasn't been that guy. And Nick Markakis, let's face it, the way the season ended before, you know, as we went into 2019, his end of 2018 was nothing to brag about. It stunk. How about that? Okay? It wasn't any good. And his playoff run wasn't any good either. So you're like, okay, a year older, yeah, he's a professional hitter, but, you know, his 9 homers and 60 RBIs in right field, you know, anything to, you know, get excited about. Now, going into this season, obviously, you know, there are questions about Ozuna and his health. Can he stay healthy? You know, he hasn't played a ton the last 2 years, but at least there has been some productivity when he's been there. And Puig is a guy that, you know, frankly, has had a couple of, you know, decent seasons the last couple of years, but he's never lived up to that hype and that promise, you know, in his rookie year, you know, when there's all the buzz and everything, and he just went crazy and, you know, made a national splash and things like that. And, you know, he hasn't really ever lived up to that guy. I mean, he's not a superstar by any means. But, you know, he's a guy that you say, okay, in a 60-game stretch, can I catch lightning in a bottle? Because maybe you can get, think about this. If I could get a really good 25 games out of Yasiel Puig, that's pretty good, isn't it? That'd be like getting 75, you know, or more good games out of him, right? More than that, I mean, you know, what, 3, 2, you know. If you think about it, could, you know, if you could get 25 games, you'd probably take that as a Braves fan. And who knows, maybe he goes on a hot streak for a couple of weeks and goes crazy and helps you out. That's the great, to me, that is one of the biggest fun things, if you will, for lack of a better way to describe it, about this season is so much can happen. You can get a guy that's, you know, a Joe Bag of Donuts in a 60-game stretch, and that person can get hot for, you know, 2.5 weeks and have a dramatic effect on the season. You know, that doesn't really happen in a regular season over 162 games. Even if you have a guy that's hot for 10% of the season, you know, that's only 16 games in the grand scheme of things. So there's a lot that could happen, you know, in all of this. But I think one of the questions is, what level of difference does Yasiel Puig make for this Braves team? Does it change up the expectation? You know, I will say that the reality is it doesn't change much of the expectation, at least not on this particular show. Now, look, I like the signing, and I think it's a good move. You know, I would have probably, you know, liked to see them go more with the youth movement. I said, if I had my preference, it'd probably go more with the youth movement. But I get this signing, and I get it. I was reading Mark Bradley's article today, and he's very excited. And he talked about, you know, I wish we'd have had Puig a few years ago, and this, that, and the other. You know, and then there's people that say, well, you know, his reputation, this, that, and the other. Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit aloof. He's also matured some. But let's be real. Those guys have never been a problem in Atlanta. How many of those guys have really been a problem in Atlanta? Not Reggie Sanders, not Bobby Bonilla, not Gary Sheffield, but plenty of reputation before they got to this club. And they had no issues on this team. None. So we've seen this organization know how to handle guys when you think that they're aloof or this, that, and the other. So that part doesn't really scare me. But people that really, because I see a lot of people, oh, man, what about this lineup for the Braves? And they're showing 1 through 9 and this, that, and the other. Okay, but even without Yasiel Puig, what have we said? They have the best top three in baseball. Arguably, I mean, maybe the Dodgers, you know, maybe the Angels, but they have, like, you know, one of the absolute elite top three in all of Major League Baseball. So a third of their lineup was already maybe the best there was in the league. It's not like Yasiel Puig made this the number one lineup in baseball. Does he help? Yeah, absolutely. Truthfully, if you ask me, would I rather have Nick Markakis, Yasiel Puig? Hell, I'll take Yasiel Puig. I take Yasiel Puig. Is he the defensive player, Markakis? No, but I don't give a crap. I'd rather have a guy that I think can hit a 3-run homer and turn a game around in one swing of a bat. Not, well, he's a professional hitter. Well, you know, look at the hard hit balls that he had. Look at his hard hit ball ratio. Christ, when you got to get to that level of statistical breakdown, well, his percentage of hard hit balls in play. Good Lord. Life is a results business. If I chop off my right hand, it doesn't really matter what the reasons are. I'm going to be called lefty for the rest of my life. Okay? Doesn't really matter. So I'd rather have Puig than I would Markakis. Even right now. So the Braves were already a premier lineup. You know, we've talked about the guys, you know, in this. I mean, they're 1 through 3. They're 1 through 4. It's pretty good. You know, they're pretty good offensively at catcher. They're not bad at shortstop. You know, third base has got some questions, okay? Like every team in baseball, there's a questionable position here and one there. And obviously, it's different because they're going with a DH in the National League. So, you know, their mindset is going to be different than what it normally is because of that. Oh, we need another bopper in our lineup. How do we handle that? You know, and hopefully Austin Riley comes around and shows a little bit more of the guy he was in the very first part of the season when he played versus the guy he was at the end of the season when he was playing, okay? So, yeah, they already were a pretty well-established lineup. And I saw people like, I'm not telling you to not get super excited, okay? I guess my only problem is I don't think you're giving enough credit to the rest of the guys that were already there. This is already, to me, at worst, the second-best team in the National League. Now, I don't think Yasiel Puig makes them the best team in the National League. I still think the Dodgers are the class league. Now, let's say the Dodgers brought Yasiel Puig back and the Braves put Mookie Betts on their team. Okay, now I'd say, maybe the Braves are the best in the National League. But when, you know, the American League MVP is headed over to your, you know, top team in the league, and, you know, you get a former guy that's still trying to figure out putting some things together and can still be productive. It's not like he's over the hill or anything like that. But I don't truthfully think that it should have changed your expectations all that much. There's nothing about the Braves that says that they can't go to the World Series. There wasn't anything a month ago. There wasn't anything 6 months ago. There wasn't anything when the playoffs started last year against the Cardinals that said, oh, the Braves can't go to the World Series. Why? Why not? Why can't the Braves go to the World Series? So do I think the Braves got better with Yasiel Puig? Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. I don't know what that translates into, how many more wins. You know, we talked about the two statistical analysis websites that are kind of like the two that are most frequently used and things like that. you know, they've got the Braves basically when you look at both of those projections around 32 and 28. How many more wins is Yasiel Puig worth? One? Two? I mean, I still think the Braves are the second best team in the National League. Yeah, I know the Washington Nationals won the World Series last year. Yeah, I know the Phillies still have that loaded, you know, team that they thought was going to do really well last year. And yeah, there's some other teams out there. The Cubs are still in the mix. You know, Cardinals, I mean, they lost to Ozuna and they really haven't done any replacing. I was reading an article in the, I think it was the Post-Dispatch about, well, the Cardinals weren't interested in Yasiel Puig anyway. They were never going to bring him in because he doesn't do things the Cardinal way. What's the Cardinal way, by the way? But anyway, I love how we perpetrate these myths and stuff like that from days gone by or whatever like that. So, did the Braves get better? Yes. At the end of the day, that's what counts the most is, did my team get better today than it was yesterday? Because that's the number one job of your GM is, make your team better tomorrow than it was today. And I think the Braves did that. But I don't think that this means that the Braves have necessarily closed the gap on the Dodgers. And frankly, in my mind, that's the only other team in the National League that you could tell me that I feel like is legitimately better. I don't think that the Washington Nationals are better. Yes, they won the World Series. That doesn't mean that they're a better team per se. They got hot at the right time. They benefited from some of the worst managing in the history of the postseason. They benefited from the second worst defensive play in the history of the postseason. They had some things that went their way. Sometimes to get that ultimate prize, you have to have some things go your way. Sometimes it's not just about what you do. Sometimes it's about what the other guy doesn't do. Okay? And when you make the second worst defensive play I've seen in 48 years on this earth, in a playoff baseball game, or you watch a manager that, in all honesty, with that level of talent, I ask the question, why would that guy still be here? Why would Robert still be the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers after how piss poor he managed that group in the playoffs last year against the Nationals, no less? It was dreadful. His managing was dreadful in that series. The way he handles bullpen, the way he handled Kershaw, all those guys. All right, when we get back, Josh Alper is going to join us. Of course, he writes for Pro Football Talk. We will talk with him about a lot of NFL news. There's lots of signings in the NFL. Lots of money being doled out, even though there's a pandemic going on. Hadn't stopped the NFL from spending money on their players, which you got to have. We'll talk to him next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out, top of the hour, AEW Dynamite coming on. We'll be watching that in the background. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Dynamite Wednesday. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You want to leave us a comment there about anything we've been talking about. Social media at 92.9 The Game. Follow me at JMCH316. He, of course, is at JarvisD90. And don't forget your radio.com app is what you want to have downloaded so that you can always catch us on the go. We'll talk to our friend of the show from CBS 46 News, Alicia Roberts, a little bit later on this evening. But NFL, lots of signings today. Lots of news about guys getting signed today in the NFL as we are, what, less than a couple of weeks away from training camps getting opened up across the league. Very interested to see how that looks. And, of course, still trying to work out what the preseason is going to be. Out on the WadeFord.com hotline we go. Talk to our buddy Josh Alper, of course, writer for ProFootballTalk.com. You can check him out on Twitter. He's at Josh Alper. Josh, always appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes this evening here in Atlanta.
My pleasure.
Josh, were you a little bit surprised? I mean, I know the NFL, you know, they got the collective bargain agreement pushed through and all this kind of stuff, but were you a little bit surprised given that we could see a pretty drastic change in what the cap looks like next year? Were you surprised that, like, you know, we're hearing Derrick Henry's extension, we're hearing Myles Garrett, you know, the who was it, Jones in Kansas City? You know, the NFL is still handing out tons of cash, and I thought it was just interesting because we really don't know how the cap is going to get impacted by this pandemic. Were you a little bit surprised by all the money doled out?
I was most surprised by the Derrick Henry deal. I think that the Chris Jones one makes sense to me from the standpoint of the Chiefs feel like they have Patrick Mahomes, and therefore they have a championship window open right here, and they want to go for it. And Chris Jones helps them do that, and they'll figure out the other stuff along the way. They know they need a defense that can hold its own and give Patrick Mahomes a chance. And so I got that one. And Myles Garrett, I think you're getting ahead of the curve there as the Browns. You wait a couple of years, and he continues to play like he does, you're going to be paying him more. So I think this, in some ways similar to the Mahomes deal, you're getting him at a slight discount by getting it done so far ahead of time. But the Henry deal, given the history of running backs, everything you're saying about the uncertainty of the cap and what that's going to happen in 2021 and perhaps into 2022 and beyond, if you really try and smooth things out, that you don't do a drastic dip in 1 year, that one surprised me. And ultimately, I think that the fact that got done was the biggest surprise of the day for me, much more so than any of the ones that didn't get done, just because it didn't seem like a likely outcome.
Josh, what do you say to those that, because I thought some of the commentary about Myles Garrett and this deal that they're looking at getting for him was kind of interesting and maybe not fair. You know, the critique is, why give Myles Garrett all that money for a team that was able to go 0-16 with him?
You know, I think that, you know, that you lose the last six games of the season because of that suspension for hitting Mason Rudolph in the head with the helmet. You know, Myles Garrett had 10 sacks in 10 games. If he had finished the season with 16 sacks or more, you know, you're looking at an elite pass rusher, a player who's 24 years old. He's just scratching the surface. Look, he made a terrible mistake. And, you know, yes, you don't win by paying, you know, pass rushers alone, but, you know, the things that make a defense great in the NFL is pass rush and an ability to cover on the corners. And the Browns have invested high draft picks in Garrett, Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams at the corners. That's clearly the way they're trying to build their defense. And you can't lose that. And you can't even risk losing that kind of player off the edge because, you know, he was the first overall pick in the draft. You built your team around him. You're at a spot where you can spend that money and you're not compromising other parts of your team. I think it's a pretty easy choice for Cleveland to have got that one done.
NFL writer for ProFootballTalk.com, Josh Alper, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. It doesn't look like anything is going to get done in Dallas, so Dak Prescott will play in the under the franchise. What seems to be the big holdup as to why the two sides just can't come together? Is it Dak really just betting on himself and not willing to settle, or what's the story there?
I think that it comes down to Dak betting on himself rather than taking a deal that would, I don't want to say below market. Clearly, he's going to make a lot of money either way, but he's set to make, if he were tagged this year and next, he'd make something in the neighborhood of $69, $70 million. So if you're going to give him an offer that doesn't pay him more than that, I don't know why he wouldn't bet on himself, given how well he's played and everything else. Now, obviously, there's always a risk in the NFL, and there's always an injury risk. There's a risk that, you know, his left tackle could go down in week one, and all of a sudden the season's a mess, and he can't get anything done. But I don't think that that's on Dak Prescott any more than it's on the Cowboys for not saying, look, it's going to cost us $37 million to do this next year. Why not get ahead of the curve and see if we can get it done for that number right now? Because if he goes out and he leads us to the Super Bowl, it's going to probably cost us $40 million. And why not, if this is the guy you really want and you know you want him, get it done. Now, maybe the Cowboys don't. That's the part I think that has always been a little bit less than certain, that the Cowboys are totally sold on Dak Prescott as the long-term leader of this team, the way that the Chiefs are with Patrick Mahomes. And if that's the case, then this is a prove-it deal for both sides. And I'm interested to see what happens from here, because if it plays out with another tag, then you're looking at that Kirk Cousins situation all over again. And I think Dak Prescott has shown that he's in a slightly higher level than Kirk Cousins, and he's not a guy you want to lose as a quarterback.
Josh, you know, there's been a lot of talk. You know, obviously we always go in every year and coaches are on hot seats and this, that, and the other. You know, and obviously here locally in Atlanta, the belief has been that if Dan Quinn doesn't get to the playoffs, that he will be relieved of his duties. And I think there were many of us that were kind of surprised that even after last year, he wasn't relieved of his duties. But I've changed my tune. I don't know how much hot seat talk there's going to be this year. I'm not sure. You know, even if we get a full season in, I've kind of come to the conclusion. I think even unless the franchise just, you know, like let's take here in Atlanta, unless the franchise goes 4-12 or 3-13 or something ridiculous, I'm not so sure that coaches are really going to get moved, especially not just the pandemic, but, you know, obviously the cultural movements and things like that going on. There's a lot of moving parts around the NFL. How much do you buy into still an idea of coaches really being on a hot seat for at least this year?
I think that's interesting. I think that there's going to definitely be situations where that comes into play. But you are going to have teams that go 3-13. And if it is a team with a coach where you're deep in, if you're Jacksonville or Atlanta, the Jets with Adam Gase, I think there are a few teams out there that if this season turns out to be an abject disaster, no matter the circumstances, you kind of have to back up the truck and do something, because there were people who thought you could have done it last year. Not so much the Jets, but, you know, Atlanta and Jacksonville. There was a lot of surprise that those teams didn't make moves. And I understand it, because I don't know that you're getting better coaches. I don't know that those coaches are out there or were out there on the market this year, certainly. But I think that, look, there's so much up in the air about the way this season is going to look, that if you're a team that's, you know, 6-6, and all of a sudden your quarterback tests positive for COVID and misses 2 weeks, and that's what costs you the playoffs, how is that supposed to be held against you as a coach in a way that you would hold it in another season? I don't see how that's possible. And, you know, I think there's so many different variables, but I think that probably a coach gets more leeway than they would in any other season, would be my guess.
Josh, last thing for you. I'm going to talk about this at the top of the hour. I guess the city of Philadelphia has, for lack of a better term, put an edict that they're going to basically not allow fans at sporting events this year is kind of what the city is going to implement. There's a story about the NFL basically saying that, hey, if you live in a city that doesn't allow fans, too bad. It's not going to be a uniform situation that they're going to look for across the board. Do you think that's a fair thing to do? Is, hey, look, if you're in a city that doesn't allow fans, too bad. If you are, then we're going to let fans in. We're not going to have a uniform policy across the league on this.
Well, you know, Philly the city did sort of back off on that they haven't made any final decisions yet. But I think it's common sense at this point that there are going to be times and places, and it may not start this way, but that the way this is spreading and the way it's forecast to go once we get into November, December, that there is a good chance you're going to play games in front of no fans in some places. And is it fair? No, it's not. But it is still, I think, something that the NFL is keeping the business part of it in mind, that if they're able to have fans in places and they're able to have tickets and they're able to give that experience to people, they're going to want to do that, and in any form that's possible. Now, I don't think I think that a month from now, you could see that 10, 12 teams are opening the season. There's no way that they're going to have fans. And the NFL says, is it really worth doing this? And maybe we should be setting an example and saying, you know, we shouldn't have fans at these games because it's just the best thing for public health all along. And they don't need to have concession workers and ticket takers and security guards and all of these things in place, because it's putting people at risk for, you know, for a bad reason. I think that could change. But I think that I understand the NFL's viewpoint on it, that if it's something that's going to be allowed, that they're not going to stand in the way of teams having fans in. But I think everything is so fluid right now that it could look very different, you know, 2-3 weeks from now, assuming training camp opens and they get preseason games going, that it gives them a completely different view on the way that the reality of handling these situations is going to be in September and October.
on Twitter at Josh Alper, NFL writer for ProFootballTalk.com. Josh Alper, join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, appreciate it, Josh. Be well, be safe, buddy. We'll talk to you here soon. Hell, we're getting to training camp time, so at least we're going to be able to talk some real football here.
Yes, sir.
You got it. When we get back from the top of the hour, we'll talk about that question I just asked Josh. Is it fair to have some cities with fans and some cities without? Life isn't fair. We'll talk about that next. This is John Chuckery Show. Dynamite Wednesday about to kick off. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on your radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.